The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our friend Tim Kawakami, who we saw at the game last night, all tapped in. The TK Show, the Warriors Plus Minus Pod, all part of the Odyssey family, joins us now live. Hey, Tim, how are you tonight?
I'm just doing fine, Mark. Yeah, I saw you a little quickly there last night, but everyone was pretty busy. There was stuff going on last night.
A lot going on, and a virtual who's who of everything, man, in the building last night. What did you make of all of it? Like, what, when you went to bed last night, what was kind of on your mind as your takeaway?
Yeah, it kind of felt like it was a playoff game. I felt that walking over. It's like, this feels a little different. I felt that just in the arena, hours before, certainly when Steph was warming up and he's got his big routine and, thousands of people in the stands wearing the captain's hat and they're just waiting for someone else. When have you ever had Steph do his very famous routine and it's like secondary? Oh, that's all nice. Let's see Clay come out here. Then Clay comes out the tunnel, goes the other side. They kind of look at each other. There was something like, okay, this is going to be a really different kind of evening. This is going to have a different kind of energy to it. And it just maintained. It was just like one of those, it was like bigger than like a middling playoff game. It was like one of those big playoff games. One of those where the crowd's nervous, the players are nervous. You know it's going to mean something. It's a game in November, win or lose, whatever. But just the emotions, the way the players, certainly the big three, Draymond and Steph on the Warriors and Clay with the Mavericks, they just felt it. You could see it from the moment that the game tipped off, from the talk back and forth, the way they're, Clay was going at Steph, the way the Steph and Draymond were playing to try to get that victory. The whole thing was, multiple hours of sustained energy, the likes that we have not felt in a Chase Center since 2022 finals. And maybe more than some of those games, frankly, just because the personalities, because it was Clay coming back for the first time. I really felt it. It was an event. It definitely was one of the big events of the sports calendar. I can't think of many others that would top it in recent years in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it was spectacular. And just, I was telling Mark earlier, Tim, when Clay hits the first three and you hear the crowd, like the crowd kind of went a little bit wild and you realize that was an opposing player doing that. And by the time he hit two more threes, it felt like the crowd had a little bit of an awakening to where, all right, the moment is over. Now it's time to root against this guy who we've loved for so many years.
Yeah, and even I think in the second half, he shot 12 threes. He made six of them. That's a lot of threes to take. A couple of them were not good looking. One of them was an air ball, and you did hear the air ball, not from the entire arena, but like, can you do that to Klay Thompson? Are you allowed to do that? And I guess you can. It's all in the spirit of competitiveness. I don't think, he would want to be treated with kid gloves out there. And I think that was also the kind of theme of the players was, I've heard a little bit this morning, oh my God, they were like kind of mad at each other. Were they really going at each? Steph and Clay were really going. That's his highest form of honor, right? Like, I need to be at my best. I need to go to my hardest because I know how good you are because I've been there with you. I've won titles with you. So let's go at each other. Let's honor each other by going as hard as possible and trying to beat the other by as much as possible. It was only by 3 points. I expected that. I knew that was going to happen. I know how competitive these guys are. And it was really fun to watch that high level competition. And also that this isn't the Warriors on their last gasp and they're terrible and whatever. Or Clay is a terrible player and he's just kind of going through a ceremony. Like, these are still good players. These are possibly two really of the elite teams in the West. We'll see how it turns out. That's fun too. Like, this wasn't just a little, you know, hey, nod, it's all great, see ya, goodbye, see ya. This was like two teams like measuring each other, and Steph and Draymond measuring what the Mavericks are going to be like with their buddy Klay Thompson.
Tim, you know what I would really love to know? Because, you look, he was clearly touched, all of that. There was a lot put into this evening, but my senses are that you know more than just about almost everybody not in, in the organization in terms of where this story has been for the last year or two and the hard feelings that were there between Klay and the organization. So from top to bottom, the game, the hats, the video, the presentation, how do you think that this landed with Klay?
I think he was okay with it. I think he was not wanting it to be a big deal. Like we all, like most of us would not want to be a big deal. Right? You just want to go and play a basketball game. But you appreciate it when people show you love. You appreciate it that, you know, it wasn't, some of it maybe was a little over the top, but that's okay. If it's authentic feeling and you kind of, you know, you don't want to have your game get disrupted. I think that's what Klay was like. I didn't want to get out of it. My concentration, my warmth, my preparation for this game, these guys are going to try to kill me, right? That's, and they know he was trying to kill them. I think it landed okay. It's fine. I don't think it needed to land. Like, that's the other one difference I have with what some people have said. I don't think it needed to be perfect for this to be an okay relationship over the years. Maybe not right now, but it didn't need to be the one moment where everybody embraces and it's okay. He's going to be spiky about it because they did not offer him the contract he wanted. That's under, you know, he felt like he had earned, you know, close to max salary from everything that he'd done with the Warriors. The implicit knowledge that the Warriors are like, hey, we paid you a max salary 4-year extension and you were hurt for two of those, like 5-year extension. You were hurt for 2.5 of those years and they paid him a whole lot of money. Like, and it's okay for Klay to not love that thought. Like, I got hurt playing for you guys. So there's complicated emotions. There's complicated feelings. There's not complicated about the way Steph, Draymond and Klay and put Steve Kerr in there. Like, that's not complicated. Those guys went to war together and won huge games together. Klay and Joe Lacob, Klay and Mike Dunleavy Jr., whatever, they're going to have to get time. We'll separate it and things will be normal, you know, to warm again, I'm sure. And last night was a step towards that. I just didn't think it was an all-important step. I think it was a nice gesture. This is not Kevin Durant going back to Oklahoma City, which is the one I kind of compare it to, which is part of what the Warriors are reacting to, because that was so ugly. It was so hostile. They hated the way that Kevin was treated by Oklahoma City when he went back. Remember the cupcake shirts and all that ridiculousness.
Yeah.
and so that they wanted, you know, their franchise to be known for different reasons when a high profile comes back. Obviously, it's different. I mean, Durant is a different character and thought of differently and had not won the 4 championships at Klay with all those other things. But I think this was just the Warriors wanting to show the league, like maybe even more than Klay or about the same as Klay, that they understand the magnitude of what this guy did for them. And they're going to honor that. And they're really going to honor it for this game. I just don't think it was the gesture, the one thing that will always be the representative of this relationship. It was always going to move this way. It always was. Like, how can Klay and the Warriors be at odds for the rest of his life? They can't. It's meant too much. There will be a statue of him outside Chase Center. His number will go in the rafters. This was just a gesture to say, you know, Klay, don't even think about it. You're beloved here, if there ever was a doubt. And it was, you know, listen, it was warm. It was really something to be in the middle of that. And we know that Klay is going to always be loved in this arena. He absolutely will be. And he'll be back in this arena many more times, as he said. Like, that's the good thing. You hated to lose this game, but there's going to be more games. And maybe, how about this? How about a playoff series? Well, would that be kind of cool?
Oh, Mavericks, boy.
Yeah. Playoff series? Oh. I think it could happen. I really think it could happen.
Yep.
And I'd love it. That was great basketball. Like, that was really good stuff. And I think if they play 7 times, it will be 7 great games.
Yeah, Mark and I were talking about the fact that this is one of those rare moments where the actual game out-delivered the hype, and the hype was bananas, yet you got to the actual game, and you had elite athletes and good basketball players on both sides just trading paint and going back and forth, and it ended with the way a lot of these games end, with Steph Curry doing amazing things. And when you look at that part of it, Tim, the Warriors now 9-2, and Curry parlaying his gold medal daggers into regular season daggers. What do you make of this team and the longevity of them this year being a real Western Conference force?
Yeah, I think they're moved up an echelon. You know, we'll see. They started off very well last season. Draymond got suspended and all kind of went to hell. But so we don't know, right? We don't know who's going to be healthy. We don't know if this would all work. We'll see what happens with the Kuminga situation. But I think they're a really good team. I mean, you go on the road and you win in Boston, you win Oklahoma City. We know the injury absences, but the Warriors had some injuries themselves. You win this game with all the emotions involved. I just think they're kind of in that bracket now, you know, probably below Boston and Oklahoma City and maybe Cleveland. I think we could say that from the game that they played at Cleveland, they might be behind Cleveland. But right there, you know, Phoenix and Dallas and Denver, Minnesota in the West. Like, the West is so deep. I just don't think the Warriors are behind those teams right now. And that's a big deal, because that gets you out of that, maybe out of that 7-8-9 muck they've been stuck in a few years, where you're just fighting to get out of the play-in, and you might get, you know, blown out there and you can't get through, or you're playing on the road and, you know, in games 1 and 2 in the first round or second round. Like, that's tough. That's a tough life to lead. Can they get to 3 in the West? Can they get to 4 in the West? I thought it was possible before the season started, and now I think, like, if they got to get to 53 wins to get to 3, they might be able to do that. And again, short, you know, little, we've got a long way left in this season, and Warriors have had lulls before. We've seen it, but this feels like a 53-win, 52-win team. Even if some things don't go perfectly, if things go perfectly, it might be 55. If things go a little awry, it might be 47. But that's a higher echelon than they started the season with, and I think they've earned it. I think they've earned the right to say, could be a 3 seed, and that's kind of the magic number to be a viable championship team. The last championship they won, guess what? They were a 3 seed in the West. It's a smoother path. You can outline it a little easier in your mind when you're the 3, as opposed to certainly than the 6 or 7, or like last year, the 10. Pile up these wins, get them in the pocket. They still count. When they're battling for seedings at the end of the year, yeah, they're going to be pretty happy they got 9 of their first 11, because it's going to be 52 or 53 possibly. And to get there, you need to win these ones too. These ones count just as much as the ones at the end. They're playing the defense that keeps them in these games, even if everything else isn't going right. And then you go, okay, Steph, we got the final 7 minutes here. Go win us a game. And he's going to do that more often than not if you give him the opportunity.
Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, is with us here. Willard and Dibs, obviously the podcast, the Warriors Plus Minus Pod, the TK Show are worth your time as well. So, Tim, you know, 53 wins, whatever. Like, if they keep playing like this, I know short sample, but if they keep playing like this, is this playing too well to then execute this trade that everyone seems to be predicting at some point?
It is kind of funny. Like, they might be playing themselves out of the big thing that they wanted, which was to make a move, you know, 3-for-1 move for somebody who could be the 1B scorer next to Steph. I'm not sure they have that 1B scorer, so I don't think it takes them out of that. And I think maybe in their world, it's like, okay, Kuminga, play really well, be really effective, be a part of a winning situation, and maybe your value goes up. And if Giannis hits the market, you know, obviously that's the gold standard. Who knows if he's going to be available. Or someone else. I can't really figure out who that is right now, because Markkanen is the one who fits the most, but now he can't be traded till next July. I'm not sure. I think what it does, it takes him out of the market for like a Jimmy Butler, who I never was high on as a trade candidate for them this time around. I think he's a little too old. I think he's going to want a contract. I think they want to get a younger player if they're going to do that. Giannis is right in the middle of his prime. That's just about as old as you want to get. Obviously, he's an incredible player. If not, then you want to get a younger player, just a real quality 1B scorer. I think they might need that. We saw the second unit kind of get, you know, bounced around by Dallas in the second half last night. Just didn't have that one guy. Now, listen, that's hard to get. Not many people have that guy. But I think they still can do that, or they cannot do it. It's optionality. You can look for a trade that is the best thing for your team at this moment, and maybe Kuminga's contract is something you don't want to worry about at the end of the year. Or if you don't do it, okay, you keep Kuminga and Moody and Wiggins or whoever else you'd have to trade in order to get that, and you ride with what you got. It's looking pretty good right now. Steve Kerr, figure it out. Go with a long rotation. Work out different combinations. I think what this start is doing is giving them the ability to do either thing instead of feeling incredibly pressured. Just, we got to make a trade. And what if the trade's not there? And the trade may not be there.
Yeah, and so far they're banking wins and they're creating a cushion that they didn't have last year when they struggled in the early part of the year. And I can't help but think about last night, Tim, and see Gafford and Lively and their ability to just dive to the rim. Is that ultimately the Achilles heel of this Warrior team? It's the same old thing that they just don't have enough size?
Yeah, I think that I've always been a little bit counter to that. I think their best five are the best five. And if it's Draymond at center, you go with your best five. It's worked for them in the past. I think Steph plays well with a small unit. I think you don't necessarily want to jam a center there, especially because Draymond is not that much of an offensive weapon. He's hitting the three. I got to say that. You might want to go to Kuminga at the four, and they close with that, this time. It just depends on who the matchup is. I don't think Draymond played the lob incredibly last night. Like, I think he stopped like three in a row down the stretch. It takes a lot. Like, it really takes incredible defensive timing and vision, but Draymond's got that. You can't count on him to stop it every single time. He needs help on the backside, but I've been a little leery of Trayce Jackson-Davis this season. I think he's a really good player. He's a young player. He's a growing player. He's not been great. They're going to start him and then maybe just pull him after 5 minutes and then go with what the other people they've got. I get that. And if he's playing well, you put him back in several more times. But I don't think that's the problem. The defense has been good. Like, their defense, their top three defense in defensive rating this season. I don't know that the size is the problem. I think the problem is on offense. The problem is that second initiator with Steph, when Steph's out there, or when Steph's out, especially, the non-Steph minutes. We always talk about that. Buddy Hield can do it at times. We can see when he isn't quite that guy. Last night he wasn't that guy. DeAnthony Melton could be that guy some nights. He has, obviously got the back thing, so you're not always sure if he's going to be able to give you 30 minutes a night. Pajemski at times, but then he's kind of hit a wall this season. I think some of that is injury, some of that is...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that's the main thing. Like, if you had to say what could make them on par with Phoenix or even above Phoenix and be the real threat for, let's say, Minnesota, and or Denver, and or OKC. I think it's that second score against a great defense. A defense that overplays stuff like we saw in Cleveland, and lengthy and dynamic, and then you need another option that can just go beat them to the rim. Kuminga can do that sometimes. He actually was very good in the Cleveland game, but it unclear that they didn't have enough. Do they have that other guy? and they may not. And we're talking again, it's a very first world problem because they got Steph Curry and they've got other guys who can score. Do they have that other guy who can beat a great defense that is overcommitting to Steph Curry, as we know almost every defense is going to? And I don't know what that, you know, can they trade for that guy? Is someone on their roster that guy? Is Kuminga that guy? I think that's what the next month or so might be really about, pinpointing who that guy could be, or if they don't have him, can they go get him?
Tim, before we let you go, are you in the group that looks at the 49ers and says, don't worry, they're gonna win this easy division. There are no problems, even though they seem to in some way underachieve every week?
No, I'm not in that group, that's for sure. Their record is what you are. They've played, really good games that they've lost. Well, then you've lost them. You did not play a good game specifically against Arizona and the Rams. Division teams. They almost blew this one, on Sunday. Like, this is a team that has weaknesses that are on display every single game, specifically on special teams. They get yardage. They play, they move the ball up and down on offense. They play very solidly on defense, especially lately. They've not been great in the red zone. That's a problem. And they are an abysmal special teams group. And that costs you games. That costs you big games. So, no, I'm not saying this is an easy division. I think the Cardinals might actually run away with it, but they might be too good for the 49ers to catch if the 49ers, unless they just go like on a 7-game win streak. I want to see it. I want to see it to believe it. They looked okay for most of the game against Tampa Bay, but then they looked horrible, especially on special teams, for another great part of that game. So I am prove it to me mode with the 49ers. I think they've got a ton of talent. I think they are built to win. I think, they're coached very well in most avenues, except for special teams at this moment. And then let's see it, because that stuff that you have lost games with in the past means you could lose games the same way in the future. And I can't trust this team until I see them do it in a series, for like 4 games in a row. And right now they've barely done it for 1 or 2 games in a row.
Tim, we love having you on, man. Thank you so much for spending some time today.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right. Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, Warriors Plus Minus Pod, TK Show.
Yep.
All over the Odyssey channels.
All over it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.